The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
And this is The Hard Shoulder, Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. George Orwell once was writing about what it meant to be English. And by way of example, he talked about a family photo, a photo of himself on his mother's mantelpiece doing his first Holy Communion or some such. And he asked the question, what do I have in common with that person? Absolutely nothing, except that I'm the same person. And he was talking about, and this is how he described it, a changing changelessness, that there's something in common. There's a common thread that you can identify, to identify the nation and the people of it. But that thread is always changing and evolving, and it reflects society at any given moment in time. And we got a little sense of kind of a changing changelessness of Irish society as well with the census data that we were talking about last week, and just how many people from different corners of the world have made Ireland home and continue to do so. And it begs the question, and we asked it here last week, and that's what we're going to explore now, about what it means to be Irish and the definition of Irishness today, if it is ever possible to nail down something as fluid as that. With me in studio to talk about this and more is Oraimu Odajimi. She is a Fianna Fáil councillor from Longford. Oraimu, you're very welcome to the show, and thanks a million for joining us. Jennifer Carroll McNeill is with us as well, the Fine Gael TD and the party spokesperson on equality. And Teresa Buczkowska, the integration coordinator with the Immigrant Council of Ireland. You're all very welcome. Oraimu, I mean, that this is a really difficult question. I'm going to ask you the really broad one then, first of all. I mean, like, is it ever possible to nail down an answer to that question? Well, like, what does it mean to be Irish? How do you define it?
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. The first
Not at all. I think it's very difficult to pin down. I've been living in Ireland for 20 years, and you know, from day one to, I suppose, day whatever today is, it's kind of I've tried to go through, you know, how I've evolved as a person and as a resident and as an Irish citizen. And it's very hard to put into words what it means to be Irish. And I suppose part of it is the Cead Míle Fáilte that I have experienced from being in here. And a part of it is actually an active engagement, a decision, a personal decision to engage my community, to, you know, get involved, to help my children integrate into the Irish society as well. So right now, I don't know anything different, to be honest. But for me, being Irish is the word that comes to mind is freedom.
Okay.
For me.
What would have been the word that came to mind when you came here first? Or had you, like, what had I asked you then, maybe, when you were fresh to the country, you know, what, define Irishness. What does it mean to be Irish?
I wouldn't have had a clue then, Kieran, and that would be the honest response then. But I think I liken it to, I suppose, the housing situation, renting versus owning your own home. That is the closest way to me to explain Irishness and, you know, being an Irish citizen, because renting a home, you have a home, but it's not yours to, I suppose, change as you will. But having your own home that you own means that if you wake up tomorrow and you want to change some part of the house, you can do that. And that's why, for me, I use freedom as an example. Coming in into Ireland, obviously a brand new country, brand new home, I wouldn't have had a clue then what it meant to be Irish. I would know what it meant to be an immigrant, had you asked me then. Definitely, it's having no clue where I am or what services, what supports I'm entitled to or are available, how I can build my life, how I can get work, you know. So all of that kind of started happening gradually. And every day I'm, you know, discovering more, I suppose, the definition of being Irish is being, I'm redefining every day in my life and in my engagements.
Jennifer, we could probably fall into a trap, and it is a trap, I think, of assuming that at certain points in history, it was much easier to define what it was to be Irish. I suspect at those points as well, they probably looked back and thought, you know what, 50 years ago, it was much clearer what it was. It's a concept that does always change, isn't it? As a question of national identity.
I don't know. I think if you present it in terms that it's hard for me in some ways to understand the question. Like, are you asking me to try to describe what Irish people are like, or what it feels like to be Irish, and what do people get from the feeling, irrespective of how homogenous or how diverse our society has become? I think we've retained in every way the sort of the warmth, the welcoming nature, the friendliness. There's no point in having a great big welcome for ourselves, but that's the sort of feedback that certainly I get in my community from Ukrainians who have come here. But it's much more important to hear from other people how they're made to feel by Irish people when they're here. But I think that that's been a sort of a consistent thread throughout all of the decades. We have now an increasingly diverse community, and I think that's fantastic. There's nothing but warmth and richness to be added to our society as a consequence of the net inward migration that we've had over the years and the population growth that we've had over the years. And I think we've benefited from that hugely. But I think we've retained in every way that same warmth throughout. At least I hope we have.
It probably benefits as well, a society that the concept is a little abstract, isn't it? Because then by its nature, then it's a bit fluid and it can change. Because the opposite of that is something much more myopic, and it's kind of the blood and soil definition of nationality.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So there's nothing to be gained from that at all. And it's entirely about looking around and making sure that we're retaining the characteristics of Irishness and of Irish community, which to me are warmth and welcome. Welcoming and being friendly and kind, and making sure that that's reflected in the welcome that people get, in how they're integrated in our community, in the services that are provided to make sure that they have all of the supports that they need at different stages. You know, look at the different things that we've done. We've had 148,000 new citizens since 2011, 11,500 last year. We had an amnesty for undocumented migrants who had been living here and contributing to our community for many years to regularise those. Irish people left Ireland and travelled all around the world and got a great reception in some places and a less good reception in others. We have to make sure that we give people the welcome that we would have wanted our ancestors to get in other countries. And, you know, we are campaigning in America for regularisation for undocumented Irish. I'm so glad that we've been able to do that here, led by Helen McEntee, because there are so many people living in our community who have been afraid to leave, who have been afraid for their status. And it's that sort of warmth and welcoming that we have, I hope, been able to give here and continue to give, although I know it's not universal. You know, the people will have had difficult experiences as well. But it's what, you know, it's what we ask to give Irish, other countries, to give Irish people around the world. So
Teresa Bychkovska, as I mentioned, is with us as well from the Immigrant Council of Ireland. Teresa, you're here almost 20 years. How have you seen people's understanding of what it means to be Irish change or evolve in that time?
That's a very interesting question. I do lots of workshops on intercultural awareness. And whenever I ask the question to people who are participating, give me 10 elements of Irish culture that are crucial to your identity, every person gives me 10 different items, because it's very fluid. For every person, it means something different. And the Irishness that people considered 50 years ago, it's not anymore valid, because people don't subscribe to those elements. And Ireland is changing, and it will be changing, because that's the nature of every nation. But I think that we are starting to expand the notion of Irishness, and we kind of recognize that being Irish means that we might have different religion, we might have a different skin color, we might have a different accent even. Because you know what happened to me just this weekend? I was on my way back from the airport. I landed in Ireland and I got into a taxi, and I still have very strong Eastern European accent, right? But I gave the taxi driver my home address. And he told me, welcome home. And that was the very first time that this happened to me in 17 years living in Ireland. And I was so grateful for, you know, to that driver, his name is Dave, that he didn't really took my accent against me. I told him my home address and he told me, welcome home. And that exactly is what I believe is the change that we are experiencing in Ireland, that people slowly are starting recognizing that Irishness is more than just one prescribed characteristic.
Yeah, you see, that's why I find it fascinating. That's why I wanted to have this discussion, is that idea that all of those people in the room can write down 10 different things and they're all different from everybody else, yet they're all identifiably Irish and they all identify as Irish. It just shows, it's a little like a nail down water here, kind of trying to come up with a definition. And I don't think you can. And the fact that you can't is probably a good thing. It does, the spark for this conversation, though, the census data, it does as well raise questions, Raimu, as well, about integration and how as a society then we deal with that and cope with it? I mean, how well or how poorly have we done thus far?
I believe in always being positive and give encouragement. I think, again, looking at from being in Ireland 20 years now, things have changed, things have evolved, things have improved. Some things, you know, need more improvement, more focus. Considering Longford, for example, that has grown over 14% since 2016 from the preliminary census figures. Longford is a very diverse community, and unfortunately, infrastructure hasn't grown at that scale as well. So that is something that could definitely well benefit people of Longford, because obviously there have been calls for increased supports, for increasing infrastructure, for affordable housing and things like that. And, you know, when you consider migrants that have migrated into the country, we haven't come here with land. We've certainly come with blood, but not with land. So obviously, we will be the migrant community will be hugely affected in that regard, as much as the natives as well. Obviously, so you know, infrastructure is very important to, I suppose, make it available to everybody in communities, so that the services aren't stretched, people aren't unhappy and dissatisfied, which can lead to, you know, I suppose, animosity in communities. So it's so important.
Yeah, that's where the integration picture gets a little more thorny, isn't it? Like if services are stretched, I mean, that would be the experience in other countries looking at it, that's where the backlash occurs.
Yeah, totally. And if you, and now that we are all, I suppose, congregating online on Twitter, which is the preferred marketplace for everybody, and you can really see the impact of the those services that are not the infrastructure that are stretched in our communities, because it's being reflected online as well. So it's so important to take into account, particularly those areas that have seen a huge increase, way above the national average, from the population figures, to focus on providing supports that are needed for the people.
But I think it's really important to say that, you know, we're at a situation now where our population has not been higher, and obviously living memory since 1850, but also we've never had more people in work. So we're not at a situation where we have a big population and a huge number of those are competing for unemployment resources. There is work there. There is so much work. So it's a really positive moment. It's also not a time of depopulation and brain drain. And I think that, you know, you're right. You know, we have an infrastructure. We have a population that we expect to grow by 1 million people by 2040. That's the whole point of Project 2040, to invest in infrastructure to try and be ready. I think we're sort of getting ahead of that, you know, and certainly we can see the pressure in all of our services and all of our infrastructure. But if we were in a situation of population growth and high unemployment, and we were seeing that being reflected through the migrant community disproportionately, I think that would be a very difficult, a much more difficult situation. Whereas we're actually at a moment quite positively of high population, high employment and high employment opportunity. We're trying to bring in more and more people into hospitality, into care work, into a whole range of different sectors, into tech, into financial services, into pharma. And that's a pretty good thing. So, you know, those tensions around integration, I think, are challenges of, I don't say challenges of success, but they're challenges of development and growth, which are important and we have to respond to them. But they're pretty good challenges relative to what might be there at a different time.
Teresa, how do you assess the integration picture?
That's a big question. And I think it would be great to have that conversation, because integration obviously works both ways. So we cannot only expect migrants to integrate within the system that already exists. The system has to also be sensitive, especially culturally sensitive, to the needs of migrants. And provision of certain services has to take under consideration different ways of doing certain things, right? So, for example, we've been recently delivering support to migrant women victims of domestic violence. And there is a high need for culturally sensitive support services that other agencies don't provide because they don't have the expertise. And that's what integration is about. It's about recognizing the differences that we have. But I agree that we have to be very careful that with the growth of population and the progress that we're having, we will ensure that every member of the community will end up in the same place, that certain members will not be discriminated against and they will not end up in a worse place. And that's why we need to, you know, pay attention to what's happening right now, which sectors of communities are left behind, why, what are the reasons, and how can we address this situation. And definitely we need to prioritize integration. Diversity is not going anywhere. It's going to be only increased, so better to prepare for it, organize it, rather than kind of ignore it and thinking that it's going to solve itself out. So I would really strongly call out the government to invest in integration.
I think as well, if you look, and certainly it's the situation even in my own son's class, if you look at, you know, if parents of young children ask, you know, they did a little test, you know, who was born in Ireland, who was born abroad, who moved to Ireland, and nearly half of the children, say, in my son's class had, you know, were from different countries, had been born in different places, either to Irish parents who had lived abroad for a very long time and come back, or totally different circumstances. But what we see in response is schools acknowledging Chinese New Year, acknowledging, you know, different cultural days, and making a better effort, I think, to try to recognise the cultural diversity that is in so many different primary school classes now. And that's wonderful. Those children will grow up, you know, different. It's a different primary school environment to the one I had, maybe that you had. And I think that's a really positive part of integration, and schools play a huge role.
Rimi, if we accept the idea, though, that kind of politics is meant to reflect the nation, and if the change, if the face of the nation has changed, how do we change the face of politics?
By ensuring representation. I think one thing that these numbers, this increase in population size reflect, and obviously there have been, you know, I suppose speculation on what that means in terms of Dáil representation. So this is an opportunity, should there be a need to, I suppose, increase the Dáil representation to reflect the population as it is today, then perhaps that is something to consider.
Like diversity quotas?
Well, I had an interview where I talked about diversity quotas, and the challenge was put to me, how do you make that how do you have that work that out in practice, considering constituencies and representation? So it is a tough one, particularly for the Dáil and the way it is. And, you know, politics is a very ambitious, I suppose, sector as well. So it is something that it's important to keep talking about it. The more we talk about it, the more we figure out how best to have that representation. Certainly, it wouldn't be a way to go to have a token representation,
yeah,
obviously. But in terms of quotas is actually something that we know helps move things in the right direction as well. And just if I can digress slightly into the education sector, as Jennifer talked about the acknowledgement of the different cultures represented in the schools, I think that's great. We need to take it a step further as well, as Teresa have alluded to, in terms of our educators. That is somewhere that we need to increase the representation there as well, to really help with that cultural assimilation as well.
We're just out of time. I know you wanted to jump in, that you were leaning into the microphone there, Jennifer.
I was so interested in listening, you know, as well. But what I was saying was, it really is up to the political parties, you know, to put a big emphasis behind. We have, for example, a Fine Gael intercultural group. We're trying to promote and support councillors to get elected. You can't have quotas on outcomes, unfortunately, any more than you can on gender. But you can certainly put the pressure on political parties to have quotas in terms of candidates, in the same way we're trying to do for gender. But that's where the push has to come. The political parties have to really get behind supporting intercultural groups and amplifying the different people involved.
Jennifer Carol McNeil, Fine Gael TD and spokesperson, party spokesperson on equality. Teresa Bushkoska is the integration coordinator with the Immigrant Council of Ireland, and Uraimu Ada Jimmy is a Fianna Fáil councillor from Longford. Listen, thanks a million, everybody, for coming in. Thank you to the production team as well. Thank you to everybody who got in touch and has been tuned in since 4 o'clock. I'll be back tomorrow at 4. Off the Ball's up next. Have a great evening, folks.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.